chapter 27. Normally I don't get to preach on Easter. There's an Easter cantata, and then there's a short message afterwards. But this one we get to talk about, Resurrection Sunday. And I'm excited about it. He arose. Can everybody say amen that he arose? Amen. Amen. We're going to look at witnesses of the empty tomb. Witnesses of the empty tomb. Christianity is the only religion that serves a resurrected Savior.
Amen.
Christ is not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He arose.
Amen.
And there's an empty tomb to prove it. People think they found the tomb, but it doesn't matter. He arose. My Jesus is on the right hand of God, making intercession for me today. And he makes intercession for all those who have a relationship with him. See, the empty tomb is fundamental to the Christian faith. It's the whole reason that Easter is the way it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 18, don't need to turn there, it's a way of introduction. Paul writes this. In verse 12, he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Back in the day, there were a whole sect of Jews called the Sadducees that did not believe in the resurrection. Today, there are people that say that Christ did not die on the cross. Today, there are people that say that Christ did not raise from the dead. They're mistaken.
Amen.
They're mistaken. It says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" See, the issue is, one day you will stand before God. One day you will have a resurrection. It'll be either in a rapture or it'll be at the great white throne judgment. Because the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, the resurrection causes an issue here. That means that there has to be an afterlife. And I believe in eternal life. I believe in eternity. Once you die, it's just not over. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. And we're all going to have to give an account before God. It says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain." If Easter Sunday did not happen 2,000 years ago, let's all pack up and go home. Because that's what it's all about. We're here because we serve a risen Savior. Every time we have Sunday services, we are recognizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
See, it's fundamental to our faith. Because if we're not, we're false witnesses. It says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses. If Christ did not raise from the dead, then all this preaching is vain. All the apostles' work is vain. All the Bible is vain. Because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Because if there's not a resurrection, if there's not eternity, then Christ is not raised. And that gives us a big problem. Because it says that if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain or worthless, and you're still in your sins with no hope of redemption. It's a bad thing to have no hope. But I thank God that 2,000 years ago he rose to give us hope.
Amen.
And he gives us a new start, just like we had to start the music over. He'll give you a new start today. And Christ did all this for you and me. "Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ," or already dead in Christ, "are perished." There are some people believe that all I have in my existence is this life, and after I'm done, I'm done. I die like a dog. And then there's nothing else. There is an eternity after death.
Amen.
And you must be ready for it. And God's love loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
He died on the cross. He was buried for 3 days. And then He arose.
Amen.
On the Easter Sunday morning at dawn. So I want to put your mind's eye back there. Back when this was happening. As we go through this message. There are witnesses of the empty tomb. There's actually three classes of witnesses that we're going to talk about today. And there's a message in each one of them for us. For us. Well, the first witnesses of the resurrection were not the disciples. They were not the women. They were dudes that didn't want to be there. See, there was a band of soldiers, a watch, that had to pick up weekend duty. And all those in the military, weekend duty stinks. Weekend duty when you had to stay up all night and guard something stinks. Weekend duty when you had to go and guard this tomb. This dead guy's in here and we're out here guarding it. Why are we out here at all? Can you imagine these Roman soldiers that are out here guarding this tomb? And they're asking, it says, why am I here? Maybe some of you are asking this morning, why am I here in this church? Why am I here? See, why were they there? The answer is found in verse 62 to 66 of our text in Matthew chapter 27. This morning we're going to go through most of the gospel accounts of the resurrection because you cannot understand the total gospel unless you read all the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't understand the whole Bible by just looking at one verse. You need the whole counsel of God. And so we're going to look at several passages this morning and look at these three groups of people. But why were these soldiers there? Because the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, wanted to make sure that Christ stayed dead. There's a world out there today that wants to be sure, wants to make sure they die everything they can, that say that God is dead. He's not dead. He's risen. And no matter what they try, they can't deny the fact. It says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Pilate was the Roman governor. The chief priests and the scribes were the ones that delivered Christ to Pilate to be crucified for blasphemy. Because he said he was God. You know what? He is God. We need to get that fact straight right now. Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
The Creator.
Amen.
Saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, you know, sometimes when we're faced with the truth, we want to say that everything else is a lie. And all they're doing here is they're saying that Jesus Christ is a deceiver. No, they are deceived. Be not deceived this morning. While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. I find it interesting in this passage that they say that there's a first error. First error is they crucified Christ. The ones that Christ came, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. And so now they're trying to backtrack. They say, well, this, we got him dead. We need to keep Christ dead. And the world wants to keep Christ dead in your life. And the world wants to keep Christ dead to them so no one else gets saved. Satan wants to do that. Satan wants to do it. So, there were these soldiers. And they got the glorious duty of going out and watching this tomb. There's dead people. There's a dead guy in there. He's not coming back. We saw him die. Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can." But I can tell you, folks, you can't outdo God. You can't stop God. His ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts, because He's God and you're not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and putting the Roman seal on it, and then setting a watch. They were guarding that rock, and now they're all out there going, "Boy, this is really good. This is really good. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen." But on dawn, before the dawn of the third day, neat stuff started to happen. What happened to them that morning? Keep on going in Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 and 4. Says this, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Now folks, Israel is really not subject to many earthquakes. So when earthquakes happen in the Old Testament, it means God's judgment's coming, or God's doing something. And so it says, "Behold, there was not just a little tremor. There was a great earthquake," because I serve a great God, and He does everything big. How big is your God this morning? He does everything big. "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it and said," "You rolled that stone there. You sealed it. You put a watch around it. But look what happened." See, God's greater than man. God's greater than man. "His countenance was like lightning, and His raiment white as snow. And for fear of" who? "Him." Those guys saw it. They saw it. What would you do if you found yourself in the presence of God and you saw the power of God? Should cause a big change in your life, right? What did to these guys is, "For fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So they weren't expecting, this weekend duty to turn out the way it did. They thought, "This is easy stuff. All we have to do is watch this rock. Nothing's going to happen." But things will happen when God's behind it. God, things will happen when God's plan needs to come true. So why were they there? To try to prove that Christ stays dead and in the grave. Nothing's going to keep Him. Vainly they seal the dead, but up from the grave He arose. What happened to that one morning? Hey, they saw the power of God. But you know something? If God was to shine His light down here in this church right now, what would it do to your life? If you saw the power of God work in your life, in your neighbor's life or anything, what would it do to your life? It should change us. It should change us. But unfortunately, the keepers of the watch, no change. No change. You know what? They didn't want to be in there in the first place. They said, "I'm done with this." But now they were worried about their what? Their own lives, because they did not fulfill their duty. And in the Roman army, if you didn't do your duty. So in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15, it says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done." Can you imagine these guys? They came in, they were scared out of their gourd, and they came, "You won't believe what just happened. Remember that earthquake out there? You see that flash of lightning? Stones growing away. He's not there anymore. He's not there anymore. Priest, all the things that were done, and when they were assembled with the, you know, people got to get together and say, hey, we'll figure this out. But once you try to cover up one lie, it leads to what? Another lie. And then to another lie. We all know that as kids. Did you break that lamp? No. Something that will always come back to you, right? It says, and when they assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money. Not just a little bit. They gave a large money because this was a big deal. Pharisees and scribes, they didn't want this stuff to get out. They didn't want this to happen. Because what? It means that what Christ did was true. It means that what God said was right. It means they're wrong. When they assembled with the elders and take counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, say ye, let's go back to the original story. His disciples came by night and stole him away while you all slept. See, a lie leads to other people saying a lie and not looking at what the truth is. And there's no change. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. Don't worry about it. We'll pay off Pilate too. We can't let this fact that the tomb got opened out. That's bad for our cause. Great for God's cause, but bad. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. One day in the future, he's coming back. Amen. And every eye will see whom they pierced. Christ was in that tomb. Christ did leave the tomb. Christ did ascend into heaven. Christ is coming back to rule, and everybody will see him.
Amen.
And at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that he's Lord to the glory of the Father.
Amen.
Folks, this morning you're experiencing the power of God through his word. It needs to change you. Doesn't matter what reason you were here for church. Let God's power change you today. Paul wrote, he said, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, in the power of his resurrection, be made conformable unto his death. See, no change happened to them, but as God changed your life through his Son, Jesus Christ. But then there was a second group. There was a group that went, and they didn't see what they expected. See, there were women that went. They were doing what tradition said you need to be done. You got a dead body, you go, you wrap up the body, you put some spices in there, you make it not stink. You embalm them. That was the tradition of the day. And they were there out of what they thought that needed to be done. If they had listened to Jesus, that was worthless energy. In Luke chapter 24, verses 1 and 3, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And it gives a list of who they were, but they were all women. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and there wasn't a soldier one. They were all running. And they, you know, we're all like cats, right? Cats are curious. So they go, I know that was the tomb. That was the stone. Because they were wondering, if you go and read the other scriptures, they were wondering how they were going to move the stone. Who's going to move the stone for us? When they got there, it was already done. And then they just left. No, they looked inside. And folks, are we looking inside the treasures of God? Are we looking inside the plan of God? They looked inside and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. See, hey, we're going to go embalm a dead body. He's not there. What happened? What happened? What happened? See, they were on the verge of missing the message. We go on in this passage, verses 4 and 5. It says that it came to pass that they were much perplexed. They did not understand what they had just seen. Didn't understand how the stone got away. Didn't understand why there's no soldiers there. Didn't understand why there's an empty tomb. Didn't understand why all the clothes were still there. Didn't understand any of that. They were what? Just a little confused. No, they were much perplexed. Much perplexed. They're about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You know, when you're perplexed about things of God, God's going to give you an answer. If you're seeking Him. It says, and as they were, what? Afraid. Hey, those soldiers were like dead men. They were for fear. Now they're afraid. Hey, there's something strange happening here. This is not what we thought was going to happen. We expected a dead body. And something else is there. And bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, an incredible question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Christ is no longer in the tomb. He's not on the cross. He's risen and ruling in heaven. Fixing to come back. Do you have a relationship with Him? So they say, hey, you're missing the message. You don't understand. Are there some things that you don't understand from God this morning? So I need to seek Him. So they were on the verge of missing the message, and they needed to be reminded. As we go on in this passage in verses 6 through 8 of Luke 24, goes and says this, He is not here, but is risen. He's not dead. And then here's the magic word. How many times we tell our kids remember something they forget? How many times we told them remember something we forget? Folks, we should not forever forget things of faith. We should not ever forget what this day means. And just not on this day, but tomorrow. And next Sunday. And the next Sunday. See, Christ, the Lord told Joshua to meditate on the book of the law. David wrote, he says, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. We need to remember those things. 1 Corinthians 5:15 talks about remembering the gospel. How according to the scriptures, Christ died and rose, was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. Remember how He spake unto you while I was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered unto the sons of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Why is it no surprise that the tomb's empty? Tell you why it's a surprise? Because they didn't believe it. Do you believe Christ? Do you believe God? Do you believe God's Word? Do you believe what He said He's going to do? He's doing it. And they remembered His words. Hopefully I'm giving you a little bit of reminder today. You remember His words? Remember what this is all about. So they're on the verge of missing the message. But then in the second thing is they need to be reminded of the message. And folks, we need to remind ourselves every day of the grace of God. Every day of the mercy of God. Every day of what He did on the cross for us. And what the resurrection means. Amen. They were changed. See, those soldiers, they ran away. They went back to Mama, so to speak, and said, this didn't work out so well. Can you help us out? And they paid them off. The women heard the angels and said, ha ha ha. Yep, okay. Now we know what Christ said. And they became obedient. In verses 7 and 8, see, we're not just supposed to hold on to the message. Say, hey, that was a great Easter message. We'll come back next year. That's a great next message. We'll come back next month. No, we need to remember every day what happened here. It says, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. And if God tells you to do something, you ought to act on it because it's going to happen. And they departed after they got everything in order. After they changed their clothes. After they took a shower. No, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. They did exactly what God told them to do. Are you doing what God has told you to do today? I thank God that you're here in His house. Is God speaking to your heart? Are you listening? They did quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run. Run? That caused me to sweat. I wasn't built to run. They ran to bring His disciples word. They were changed to be obedient when they saw the empty tomb, when they heard the angel. And here's the neat thing. On the way, they meet Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and they held Him by the feet and worshiped Him." Folks, if you believe in the power of His resurrection, if you believe in what He did for you, if you have a relationship with Him, He's given you His Holy Spirit inside of you. He's empowered you to do what He wants you to do. Are you doing it? Are you telling other people? I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today.
Amen.
Are you doing it? And they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped. They met Jesus. Folks, you'll never see Jesus if you don't have a relationship with Him. And Christian, you'll never see the power of Jesus in your life, the power of God in your life, unless you listen and become obedient to Him. And we'll never do anything unless we obey His word and follow His will. And so there were people there that didn't find out what they were expecting. They saw someone else and it changed their lives. I hope Christ has changed your life today. Is there something He wants you to do? You need to be obedient to that. But there was a third group. There were some reluctant witnesses. We've been going through the book of Matthew, and that little video thing talks about a lot of stuff that we've covered so far. But in the last couple of chapters we've been studying Matthew, been talking about calling His disciples and commissioning them and understanding the challenges they were going to do. You know who wasn't there? The disciples. The ones that were called by God. We know in the video, in the last year, He told them that this was going to happen. Now, if you were a true follower of somebody, and He said that this was going to happen, and this was the day that it was going to happen, wouldn't you be there? You know, we hear that some dignitary is going to be in town, and you go and you see him because you trust the word. But see, the disciples weren't there. And that's a sad, sad thing. That's a sad, sad thing. You know what? They weren't looking. Now, in their defense, a couple nights ago, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all these soldiers with swords and staves and clubs come, and they take Jesus. And Peter commits assault, cuts off Malchus's ear, and Jesus heals him. And they all run away. Mark even loses his clothes. Even loses his clothes. They're all running away. They're scared for their lives. Come back tonight and you'll find out. They're scared for their lives. In a human sense, we can see why they were the way they were. But they weren't looking. See, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23... Christ starts telling them in the last year of His ministry, He said, "This is going to happen to me." It says, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the first day." When they went to Bethany, for Christ raised Lazarus, and said, "Let us go to Jerusalem that we may die with Him." He said that. They knew. Verse 22, then Peter, Peter. Talk, then engage brain. say something and said, oops. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Hey, if you can't seal up the tomb, you're not changing God's plan. God has set this in motion for the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ before the world began. In the Garden of Eden, there was even prophesied. All through the Old Testament, it pointed about this. Even gave the date. Daniel knew the year that it was going to happen. They knew it. Lord, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Folks, you know what displeases God in a Christian's life? Not listening to him. Not wanting to learn more. Not following his will to be conformed to his image. Not being there when he expected you to be. They should have been there. They should have been the first one. It's the third day. We need to go over and see. We need to go over and see. But they didn't. They weren't looking. They weren't listening. Here's the sad part about this. They listened to Christ for a full year. They saw exactly what happened in that year. The way Christ said it was going to happen. They watched him crucified. They watched him die. They watched him betrayed. They saw the Last Supper. They saw all that. The women come to the disciples and say, the tomb is empty. He's not there. We don't understand it. But here's what they say. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Folks, how much is God going to have to move in your heart for you to believe what he says? How much is God going to have to show you his power before you trust in it and you believe what he says is true? They weren't looking. He's dead. We saw him die. He's in the tomb. It's over. We're next. What? The tomb's empty? You gotta be kidding me. You're having a hallucination. Didn't happen that way. Well, when they heard this, you would think that natural human curiosity would take those 11 or 10, how many ever was in that room, and they would all go at least, let's check it out. You know, we go and we expend energy on things that are a lot less reliable, don't we? And out of all those disciples in that room, only two had the courage to go to the sepulcher, Peter and John. They got there and said, that's interesting. Look at what Peter did. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, stooping down. He saw it too. He saw exactly what the women said. Shouldn't that be enough? A stone that they couldn't roll away? An empty tomb, all the burial clothes right there, the napkin that covered his face sitting by his side. And then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter said, that's interesting. All he had to do was say, that's what Jesus said. That's what he was preaching about for the last year. It happened. Hallelujah! I believe! Let me follow you, God. Folks, Have you seen God work in your life? Have you seen His Word come alive? Has it changed you? Has it changed you? It's all because of the empty tomb.
Amen.
But it all comes down to our faith. God's done all the heavy lifting. He sent His Son to die on the cross and be buried and raised again. He's done it all for you because He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us. Do you have the faith to change? Do you have the faith to be obedient? Do you have the faith to be convinced that what God's Word says is absolutely 100% true and act on it? That's what Easter Sunday is all about. And God did it for you. Let's stand. This morning, I want to ask two questions. Like every head bowed and every eye closed. And the question is this. Do you believe what Christ did was for you? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Or is that something you say you're still working on? If in your heart you say, I'm not sure, I got great news for you. The Bible says, these things I have written on you that you may know that you have eternal life. And the news is this, the good news is this, that Christ came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. And He did it for you. He took your sin, the capability for your sin on the cross, and paid the penalty, which was death, and left those sins in the grave and the empty tomb when He rose again. And all He asks you to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not going to heaven. I know what You did was for me. I know You died on the cross for me. I know that You were buried for me. I know that You rose again for me. And I ask You, dear Jesus, to forgive me my sins and give me the gift of eternal life that only You can give. A simple prayer like that seals your eternity forever. That's what the empty tomb's all about. Don't leave here today without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christian, are you like the disciples? Are you expecting something else and not getting what you expect? Surrender to Him. He's doing in your life what He wants to do. Give yourself up and follow Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not out of duty, but out of love. But I don't get rid of the I don't. Let Him take control of your life this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this day. Lord, I ask that You be with this time of invitation. Father, I pray there's someone here that does not know You, that they prayed that prayer. Lord, I pray that there's a Christian here that's struggling, Lord, not wanting to follow You. Father, help them to understand Your power. Help them to understand Your Word. Help them to understand You did it for them because You love us. Father, help us to be surrendered to You. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.